The 24th.
This is July 23rd.
Well, that's today. We're putting this up tomorrow.
Okay. Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 24th, 2009. This is Mike Minotti, joined by Ajgai Minotti.
Hello.
And our good friend Pete Angry Jedi Davison.
Hi, everybody.
What was that? It was like he had an American accent. It was great.
It was my sultry high.
Okay. Well, you're going to talk like that the whole show?
All right, I will.
No, you don't have
to. It's too much. It's too much.
Yeah, you can't take that much British at you.
No. Oh, actually, I probably could all day.
I can't.
I love the British. All right.
I'm not sure I can.
Oh, God. All right, here's what we're doing today. Enough fooling around, guys. This is serious business.
Yeah, after recording a Disney podcast, it's weird to not be so wholesome anymore.
Yeah, okay. We're starting off with the news, video game news, if you can believe it. We got plenty of that. Then we're going to go. We don't have any more Game of the Year segments to do. We did all 22 of them.
Let's start again. Do it again.
Just go yeah. over. We haven't done 85. We can do no. Okay, we're done. We're going instead. We're gonna work in some new segments. The new segment this week is called Either Or. Okay, I'm gonna give you guys one thing or the other. You have to pick them. You have to discuss it. There's about 10 of them. There's a lightning round.
Oh man,
it's gonna be pretty intense. It'll be fun, I think.
Lightning round.
Yes. Not even joking. So we have that to look forward to. Then after that, we still have a quiz. Still the Great American Ninja Guy Gaming Quiz to look forward to. It's harder again now than it was during those Game of the Year times, because you could kind of have some context. Yeah, or like we might have talked about the games that we were going to do the quiz on. You might have gotten the answers there. None of that this time. Then from there, we're just going to do our weekend gaming. We have something to talk. What do we play this week that was new and exciting?
We'll get to it. I have stuff.
Explosion Man!
Yeah, all right,
we'll get to it. That's a spoiler for later in the podcast. Everyone's like, I'm not going to listen to this podcast. I know what they're going to say. Fuck this. They turn it off.
No, you unsubscribe. Need to tease them through it. And coming up in the next segment, Explosion Man,
yes.
Whatever it's called.
Oh, you're right.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I always say Explosion Man. He's like, no, it's Explosion Man. I'm like, oh, yes. Whoa. Okay. After that, we'll do the weekly game releases, and that'll be it. So why don't you get us to the news?
All right. So first up, the good people of the OC Remix community have released a Final Fantasy IV compilation album called Echoes of Betrayal, Light of Redemption. They've basically redone the entire Final Fantasy IV soundtrack. It's very good.
Yeah, they've done this sort of thing before. It's always cool. I heard some of the tracks. It sounded nice.
Yeah, I encourage everyone to check it out.
I would have been more happy with a Final Fantasy V or VI soundtrack.
I'm sure it's coming.
The IV soundtrack's pretty good.
If you say so.
Yes, I do say so.
Well, I can't think of as many songs that I remember playing through Final Fantasy IV as I did from 5 or 6.
I might remember it a little bit better because I've actually got the piano score for it, and it was the Final Fantasy IV was the first one I got, so that's why I know it pretty well.
Keep in mind, in my case, a lot of the games kind of blur together a little, especially the songs.
Yeah, true.
I probably could not distinguish the battle themes all that well. What's up?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that?
Never mind. I was going to say that the battle themes for about the first 5 games are all very similar anyway, so.
Oh, I remember 5s, though. No. That's not it.
Oh, God.
That's 6. And you know
that's it. That is 6. I know it's like the notes go up and they come back down.
Great.
No, it's like a very rising thing.
It's just like talking so longer and louder you move your voice up and down.
Right.
Ahem. Capcom community manager Seth Killian was at EVO in 2009, the big kind of fighting game tournament thing, where he was still teasing that there's one final secret still to be found in Mega Man 9.
It can't be anything that great.
Maybe it's 0 in the game.
Oh, man. I don't know. Can you give us a hint at this point?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I'm not playing through Mega Man 9 again anytime soon to look for his little secret.
Or maybe they've just been toying with Mike and they've actually hidden Marvel vs. Capcom 2 in there.
Oh, man.
You've had it all this time.
No. Like, all right, guys, it's out. Now go open up Mega Man 9. We're like, what? That's right.
Yeah, you've had it.
You've had it. Like, I can't believe this. All right.
If you're a fan of Battlefield 1943 like we are, you might be happy to hear that its weapons will be making some kind of appearance in Battlefield Bad Company 2. They said on their Twitter that the submachine gun, semi-automatic rifle, and the sniper rifle will be appearing in the game somehow. Probably as multiplayer weapons for owners of 43.
I cannot believe that a rifle, a semi-automatic weapon, and whatever else is going to
be in World War II era weapons. Yeah.
I guess that's neat.
You know, I mean, I played the original Bad Company. I thought it was okay, but like my love for 43 has me now looking very forward to Bad Company 2.
I can understand that.
Whatever they're doing, it's working. Also, it should be noted that Battlefield 1943 has broken download records on both platforms.
I saw that.
I can't believe
it. Good for them.
You could tell, too, like they're shocked at how fast the 43 million kills were reached.
Yeah.
It was less than a week on the Xbox.
They've done it already, have they?
Yeah, sweet. On both. And the new map it opens up is a lot of fun, too, so I'll talk about that later, I guess. Left 4 Dead 2 info as we head into Comic-Con. A lot of this is coming out. They've unveiled a new special infected called the Spitter. It's basically a long-range attacker for the infected. They have what they're calling common uncommons. They're not quite like special infected, but like you don't see them everywhere. We've seen the guys in the hazmat suits, and they showed another one called Mudmen, who are kind of like these slimy dudes who crawl around on the ground real fast.
Okay.
They've also said that health packs and pills are gone, being replaced by adrenaline shots, which will allow you to, like, do your melee attack unlimited, and ammo packs.
Wait. There's no more health packs?
Yeah. We're effed.
How's that work?
I don't know, but we're screwed.
Yeah.
That's gonna be hard.
I guess.
For fans of the Beatles, a new trailer for Beatles Rock Band came out along with the revelation of 8 more tracks for the game. They are shown in the trailer, Paperback Writer, Twist and Shout,
Woo!
Can't Buy Me Love, 8 Days a Week, Yellow Submarine, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band,
Woo!
Within You, Without You, and Revolution.
You know, more songs have been announced since this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what, but one of them was Get By with a Little Hope from My Friends.
Yay.
There's more songs.
If you go actually to,
So you dropped the ball on this time,
Shoot. Someone at Bitmob, I just thought of this now, I shared it down the link. He did a pretty cool thing where he took the screenshots from the trailer and got like actual pictures of the Beatles to compare them. It's really cool, like just how good a job Harmonix has done with replicating all this stuff.
Right.
The Xbox Live dashboard update that we, detailed last week will be going live August 11th. You can go right now to Major Nelson's website to find the link to sign up for the preview, which invites for that should start going out sometime in the beginning of next week, I understand it. Again, that gives you like some enhanced Netflix stuff, and you know, we talked about it before. There's a big list. Go listen. Sony considered a second analog nub for the PSP Go, but decided against it, which I think is probably the right call.
Well, because then you have a problem where games could be supported on the PSP Go, but not on the PSP 3000.
Right. And ultimately, whereas I think we see a lot of, like, people buying DSIs who already have lights if the sales numbers are any indication, I don't think, at least initially, that was going to be the case with the PSP Go.
Right.
Unless Gran Turismo is more popular than
I mean,
think it is.
I would like to see a new PSP with two analog nubs or sticks at some point.
Yeah, that's coming for, like, the next PSP, whatever
it is. It's like what you said, though. There's no sense in just releasing a slightly better version of it that just divides the market, because they'll get no one buying anything at all then.
Right. I mean, I would have bought a PSP Go for it, I guess, whereas I won't now, but I probably wouldn't have been happy about it.
Okay. If you're a fan of the service Raptor, which is kind of an all-in-one portal for, like, all your gamer IDs or whatever, they've launched their own IM client, which is along the veins of, like, X-Fire and GameSpy Commando. I haven't tried it yet, but apparently this, if I read the release right, it even lets you talk to, like, Xbox Live friends and stuff. Probably just using, like, the Messenger chat.
Yeah, it uses message client. It sends them via Xbox.com. I think it's still pretty cool to have all this stuff in one client, though.
Right. It's actually a really cool website. Like, I kind of sometimes forget about it because I'm not on it all too often, but it does a pretty neat job of aggregating everything
into
a nice
little place.
They've
completely ripped off Facebook's design, but they've done it in a game, a sort of game-centric thing. So it's got things like the bar down at the bottom and chat and friends and stuff like that, but it integrates nicely with things like Facebook and Twitter as well, so it'll update people on your achievements and things. So, yeah, it's a decent website, and I've not actually been there for a long time, but I get occasional emails from them, and it's quite neat because it tells you what your friends have been up to. So, like, I can see that Edge Guy's been spending a chunk of time playing Battlefield 1943 and that sort of thing. So I can see what people have been doing, even if I've not spoken to you directly. It's the future, right. Not talking.
As a quick aside to our listeners, Mike has now discreetly tried to take out his iPhone, get onto YouTube, and listen to what I presume is the Final Fantasy V battle theme.
I can't find, like, the normal battle song, though. It's giving me, like, the decisive battle and Battle on the Bridge. Battle on the Bridge is pretty good. That's the dun 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 dun. But I want just the normal battle song. I knew it so well, it's bothering the hell out of me that I can't remember it right now.
You know what else is bothering the hell out of Valve? Is random drops, huh? Huh?
Oh, huh? Don't get me going on. The worst was when they changed it at first and it was only random drops.
Yeah, I think the way it is now where it's that and achievements is pretty good, but apparently they're not happy with it. They think the random drops is a good way to do things like the hats and the cosmetic items, but they're still trying to figure out a better way to do item drops. I think it's fine having both. I got my first and only drop the other day when we were playing. I have the flare gun for the pyro. I have one free unlock in that game.
Jeez. I mean, I think the one thing they're talking about is just giving them out as soon as the patch is out. Like, here's the patch, you download the patch, here's all the weapons.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's just going to go into an achievement farm server anyway, like, whatever.
Right.
Another whatever. Sam Raimi is going to direct a World of Warcraft movie.
Yay! Whatever.
He did make Spider-Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This is a lot like when they announced the Halo movie with Peter Jackson involved, and they made it seem like it was a sure thing, and then it didn't happen. I wouldn't be surprised if a similar fate befell this.
This is never going to happen. No, not unless they have a film that's 40 hours long of someone running around and a bit of text on screen.
What exactly would the story be? What part of World of Warcraft would they choose?
Maybe it'll tie in with the next expansion. Like, it'll be a prequel to the expansion.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if you guys have played the latest expansion at all.
I did a bit.
Yeah, I haven't, but I've got a friend who's been playing through it, and he says that the stuff they've done with the Lich King is actually quite good. They've put in some actual story that where you actually join up with some of the heroes from Warcraft 3 and stuff, and that's very cool, apparently. But the fact you have to grind through so much stuff to get to it in the first place is putting me off trying it again.
And here's what people forget. Da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da. Okay, I got it.
Good.
Good.
Anyway, like I was about to say, what people seem to forget too is, yes, like, World of Warcraft has 11 million subscribers, and that's a lot. But when you think about that in terms of every single subscriber to World of Warcraft went and saw this movie, that's $110 million, which is not, for what the scope of this movie would probably end up being, that's not enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like with that Halo movie. Sometimes, like, when you get a franchise that's this big without being a movie, and you try to make a movie into it, a lot of greed gets involved, and there's a lot of conflict, a lot of arguments, and usually just kind of falls apart. That's why we don't really see big video game movies. That's why we see Street Fighter, Legend of Chun-Li.
And Blizzard is pretty protective of their IP. Like, they're going to want control of this, and they're not going to get it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the other thing you say as well, if 11 million subscribers all go and see it anyway, I mean, think of most gamers' reactions to games, to movies of games anyway. Most people hear that there's going to be a movie of a game, and they think, oh, that's going to be complete shit, and they ignore it. So out of those 11 million people who are playing World of Warcraft, how many of them are really going to go to the cinema to go and see a movie based on it?
Yeah, I mean, what I was saying is like a best-case scenario, which is not going to happen.
But no. We've never seen the Warcraft style translated into live action. I don't know what that's going
to
look like.
I still want Blizzard to make like a direct-DVD CG film and just be done with it. It'll be awesome.
Did you ever see the original screenshots for when World of Warcraft was a point-and-click adventure?
Oh, you mean Warcraft Adventures?
Yeah, yeah.
The adventure game they're doing, like, 97?
Because that looked great. I'd seen an animated movie in that style. That was awesome. But then they can that, so.
You know, aren't they also, isn't the Castlevania movie now closer to happening with the guy who directed Saw?
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about that. That's not going to happen.
I think that might happen. I just think it'll be terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But as long as it has the line, "But you steal men's souls and make them your slaves."
Oh, if it had that exchange in it, that'd be just so great. Wait. What's the first line of it? "Die, monster. You don't belong in this world. It was not by my hand that I am once again given flesh. I was brought here by humans wishing to pay me tribute." Tribute? "You steal men's souls and make them your slaves." "Perhaps the same can be said of all religions. Your words are as empty as your soul. Mankind ill needs a savior such as you." "What is a man?"
A miserable little pile of secrets.
But enough talk. How about two?
That marks the, I think, fourth time we've done that dialogue in its entirety. Well, we, meaning you.
You know, it's still not quite right, though, because to make it sound right, you have to record it in your bathroom.
You know what I hated in, when they kind of redid the dialogue for Dracula X on the PSP? Like, they re-recorded everything and changed the lines. And it wasn't necessarily better, it just wasn't classic anymore.
Mm.
Which was lame. All right, enough of that.
Moving on. As Chris walks downstairs with a guitar, it's a good time to talk about Band Hero DS. I didn't know they were making this, but it's going to be, you know, bass, guitar, singing, and drums. And they've got some kind of drum thing that wraps around the DS Lite and covers up the D-pad and the face button, so that there's four drum pads on the DS. Again, incompatible with the DSi because it's a different size.
Mm. I can see that destroying a lot of DSs.
Yes.
What do we hear when we went inside GameStop today? What did one of the employees tell a customer asking what the difference between Guitar Hero 5 and Band Hero was?
I think he was saying like the songs are just less.
No, he was saying that Guitar Hero 5 was guitar focused, whereas Band Hero was more going to be like Rock Band, which isn't right. At all.
From what I saw of the Band Hero trailer this week, it just looks a lot more poppy.
Right.
Yeah, that was the plan, wasn't it? To have Band Hero a bit more sort of family-friendly, and then Guitar Hero would be, for want of a better word, hardcore.
The very nice thing that I read is that Band Hero will be compatible with all the World Tour DLC.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes.
And I'm hoping the same thing for Guitar Hero 5.
Yeah, I haven't read that anywhere, but if Band Hero is, I'm assuming.
I was like, you know I'm usually apathetic about these music games at this point. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually really liking a lot of stuff I'm seeing in Guitar Hero 5's track list. Like, they actually have an Iron Maiden song from the get-go. It's, you know, Two Minutes to Midnight, and that's already in Rock Band now. But still, it's cool.
There are two songs I care about in that list.
They have Feel Good Incorporated by The Gross. What do you mean? Meh. Feel good. No, you're wrong. That's a great song. I don't know. And I think I love some of the pick-up and play thing is cool. They seem to be taking more hints from Rock Band, which is nice. Like, you know, there's not a community star power pool anymore. Like, one person fails a song, everyone doesn't fail. Things like that. I like it.
Well, you're not the only one who feels apathetic towards these music games, because apparently their sales are down.
And apparently the trend is very similar to what happened with Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah. Basically, in this year, 2009, the sales of Guitar Hero and Rock Band software and hardware is down half. Of 2008.
Well, Rock Band, at least they haven't released a game in a while. Guitar Hero releasing too many games, maybe?
Yeah. And also, you notice neither of these games have been in the top 10 in the NPD's last 2 months. No. Usually they were mainstays of the top 10.
You know, I think when the Christmas season comes around again, it'll pick up again. Is it going to be as huge as maybe it once was? Maybe not. But I think if they become a little bit more reserved, do one release a year, I think that they can be fine still and have a little, some legs. It's just like, I mean, at least have a Tony Hawk lifespan instead of a DDR lifespan, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 years from now, they'll try to bring it back and do something really wacky and crazy, and we can all laugh.
It'll be have five strings.
It'll just be a guitar. It'll be like Tony Hawk, where it's just a guitar. And it's like, why am I even doing this?
The once Xbox exclusive Castle Crashers is coming to the PS3, as will be shown at Comic-Con this week.
And why not? It's a great game, so hey, let more people play it. Why not?
And finally, just for you two, Ace Attorney Investigation, Miles Edgeworth, has a U.S. release date of February 16th.
And by for you two, he means mostly me.
And me. And
his
me.
Avatar is freaking Phoenix
well,
Wright.
Well, this is a U.S. release date.
Well, he can import it. Look, there's the picture.
Yeah, I hope you have fun paying more money for it.
Yeah.
He'd have
yeah.
to pay more money in the UK anyway.
He'd have to pay more money this way, maybe. Anyways, I really am excited to play this game.
Yeah, definitely. I imported Phoenix Wright 2 and 3 from Japan. Because they
oh, man.
Yeah, and they had English text in them as well.
Right, that's right, they did. I'm pretty excited, though.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about that.
I still wish it was called Perfect Prosecutor Miles Edgeworth instead of this, like, Ace Attorney Investigation.
Well, they need to rely a little bit more on name cachet here than in Japan, I think.
I guess. I mean, the problem was that, I mean, it used to be that Phoenix Wright was the big name, not really Ace Attorney. I guess they kind of tried changing that with
They swapped
with Apollo
in
Justice.
The second one, didn't they? Because the first one was Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, but then from the second one onwards, it was Ace Attorney, Phoenix Wright.
I'm trying to remember when they made the switch, if it was then or if it wasn't until Apollo Justice.
It was number two, definitely. The turn three still had Phoenix Wright's name on it, but he wasn't the main point of it.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I think even then they were getting ready for the switch.
Is it still Gakuten Saiban game in Japan, or has it got a different title there?
I don't know what it's called there exactly. What does that mean in Japan?
Turnabout Trial.
Oh. That's why that word turnabout is in the game so freaking much.
Yeah.
I imagine they still keep that. I mean, it was still... Although, I guess this game doesn't have very many trial scenes. Or any. I guess almost everything's kind of done investigating.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pretty hyped. All right. I guess that's that, huh?
Yep. All right, how's this either-or thing work now?
Just put it on my screen.
Okay, should I not look?
Yeah, don't mean, you know... You don't have to close your eyes or anything dumb. Just don't stare at it.
Okay.
All right, guys. Here's how it's going to go. I got a list of things here. Either or. You got to pick one or the other. So, you know, you're going to choose, but choose wisely.
Or?
Or what?
I just wanted to quote Last Crusade.
Fair enough.
So we'll go down these. I guess we'll just get to it. All right. First one. Either or. Oblivion or Fallout 3? AJ, you first.
Fallout 3.
You don't have to go so fast, you know. We'll talk
about it. Okay, I thought there was a speed to this.
No, that's the lightning round.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say Fallout 3. I mean, I love both of them very much. But, I mean, Fallout 3 is basically took the good stuff from Oblivion and dropped out a lot of the bad stuff. And, you know, it's a different setting, obviously. But, yeah, I'll say Fallout.
Mm. Pete?
I'm going to say Oblivion. Because I really love Fallout 3. And I think it is a better game, but... I just like having a bit more colour, and Oblivion's much more colourful, and I Fallout 3 got quite tiring to play after a while with the fairly muted colour scheme of it, and going back to Oblivion, and when I played that after Fallout 3, I found I could play it for a lot longer just because there was more variety in the visual appearance of it, even though not as good a game.
A lot of people say that about Fallout 3, like the bland environments and it's depressing and everything, but that honestly never bothered me for some reason.
It's kind of the always... point, I guess, but I just kind of got a bit fatigued with it, but it's not to say it's bad, but I found Oblivion easier to carry on with.
Yesterday, when AJ was playing Oblivion,
oh God,
I saw his character in like his stat screen for a second, and he made a freaking cat person.
They make good thieves, and Pete will back me up on this, yes?
I had a wood elf thief, thank you very much.
Yeah, why can't you be a wood elf?
They look dumb.
Oh! They look stupid! But this person with... it's not even like a Japanese cat person thing, where it's like, oh, they have like the ears and the tail. No, this is just... a cat's face. Like, someone took a picture of their cat. They're like, let's model it after this. Let's put it on a face. There's a cat person. That's what you look like.
I can see in the dark and I have good agility. Leave me alone.
Surely surely the reptile people could also look in the dark.
Do they?
Yes.
They're better fighters, though.
And they can breathe underwater.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And they never get poisoned.
Although I saw you talking to some reptile girl and she didn't look much better. Anyways, I was ashamed of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, my vote goes to Fallout 3 because I hate Oblivion.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I'm thinking about trying Oblivion yet again for like what would be the fifth time now. One of my friends made this hilarious observation that almost every time he looks at his friends list of people who played Oblivion, they only have that first achievement when you get out. You get out of like that catacomb, and then they stop playing.
That's probably true.
I find going back to Oblivion after Fallout 3 quite interesting, though, because having sort of experienced Fallout and being able to go and like look in cupboards and houses and stuff and find those little touches and details that gave a lot of life to the world. That stuff's all there in Oblivion as well. It's just at the time it came out, no one really thought to go and look for it.
But a lot of the stuff you find in Oblivion is completely worthless. There's like calipers lying all over the place. They don't do anything. You can't sell them for anything. They're just kind of there.
You guys ready for the next either or?
Hit me.
Yeah, go ahead. Enjoying this.
I'm going to let Pete go first this time.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Either or. Real-time strategy or turn-based strategy?
Turn-based strategy.
Why?
Because I'm crap at real-time strategy. It's that simple. I don't know. I can't think fast enough with real-time strategy. I just end up getting covered with Zerglings.
Is there, like, a real-time strategy game that you particularly enjoyed, maybe more than most?
I enjoyed Red Alert 3, actually. And, I mean, the cutscenes were a big part of that, because they're great. But Red Alert 3 was quite a satisfying game. It had a great soundtrack and so on. And the co-op mechanic worked really well. I tried it with another person a couple of times, but... Ultimately, I find real-time strategy games, they never hold my interest all the way through, even if they've got a really good story. Like, I played StarCraft most of the way through, but I just lost interest by the end of it.
All right, AJ.
I'm still trying to decide. Because, like, real-time strategies are games I like in theory, but I suck at them.
Yeah, same here.
Turn-based strategy, too, like... I'm good at Civ Rev because it's a little more simple, but most of them they tend to be so big and so complicated because it is turn based. So in theory, you can take your time a bit more, but like I just end up like I still can't even play like Civ 4 proficiently because there's just too much. Can I say that I like kind of the balance between the two in a game like Sins of a Solar Empire where it's like a slower paced real time?
I mean, I guess yeah, sure, why not?
I'll do that. That's actually a really good game I need to play more of. And I know some Wait, was it your brother who was just talking about it on Listen Up, Pete? I think he was.
It might have been, yeah.
Someone was just talking about having played it. I was like, oh, yeah, I need to play that some more.
As for me, I'm terrible at real-time strategy games. Horrible. It's, like, by far my gaming, like, weak point. That's, like, the one spot where, like, I'm just not up to speed with anybody else. Almost any other genre, I can, like, jump in, at least kind of get a feel for it. I'm not much better at turn-based strategy, really. But...
I beat you in Civ Rev this week.
Barely. Okay, it was
barely.
Close. Yeah, I was going for my economic victory. Well, it's because you stole my one settler early on. You built a town where I was going to.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
I was in such good pace because I destroyed Rome, like, in the very beginning. Because, like, he was right next to me. So I just, like, took my warrior army and just kicked him out. It was good. But I guess I would say, you know... There's a certain sort of glitz and glamour to some real-time strategy games I think is missing from some turn-based strategy games. But just because I feel like I'm a little bit better at them, I'll say turn-based strategy games.
Okay.
But not some of the super complicated ones. Like something like Civ Rev, that's my speed, that's what I like.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to play Civ 4, just shoot me. Because I just don't know what to do. Alright, here we go next. AJ, you're first again.
Okay.
Warcraft 2 or StarCraft?
Oh, you bastard. I think I'm like StarCraft might be the better game, but for me I'm gonna say Warcraft, just because I have
Warcraft 2.
Yeah, Warcraft 2. Just because I have better memories of like that was like kind of the first RTS I played, and played like with friends, and it's still like it, I don't know. It's just got this certain kind of atmosphere about it that I still really like.
Pete.
Yeah, I think Warcraft 2 as well. I like sci-fi, but I think I've got more of a liking for fantasy stuff, so I always kind of enjoyed the Warcraft setting a bit more than the StarCraft setting. But, again, I thought StarCraft was a great game and it had a really cool plot, but kind of lost interest by the end.
I like how StarCraft had the three races and they're all different, whereas in Warcraft 2, orcs and humans are pretty similar. Now, I really liked Warcraft 3 the way how all four races were kind of doing their own different thing. It was really cool. But yeah, still, I just kind of have more of a nostalgia for Warcraft 2. I already admitted before I'm terrible at RTSs anyways, but I'll go with Warcraft 2 also. All right, back to Pete first. Either or, Pete. Raid or Portal?
Portal. All
right. Defend yourself.
Yeah, I enjoyed Raid, but I found some bits of it just too difficult. I'm too stupid to play Braid without an FAQ. whereas Portal, I managed to get all the way through without any help.
No, so, Braid passed the Mike Minotti test of idiocy where I was able to beat it.
Braid was great, but I enjoyed Portal more. And Braid, again, told an interesting story, but it was a bit po-faced all the way through, whereas Portal didn't take itself too seriously either. The last bit of Portal just made me crack up. It was amazing.
All right, Azuga?
Yeah, I'll say Portal. They both are, like, really great puzzle games, but again, story is the equalizer, and just the story was so much better presented in Portal, and I liked it better, so there you go.
All right. Yeah, I guess I would probably say Portal, too. I love Braid, but I also love Portal. I love what both of these games do. I think they both came out at the right times.
Yeah.
I like what they both did, but Portal was first. Portal story is more masterfully handled in the game. You know, you're not just going by books and reading things. Not that that doesn't work for Braid, but, you know, it is nicer in Portal where you kind of duck into some cranny and that's where you kind of get some plot revealed to you and it's cool, you know, and it's funny. Got more memories from it. So I'll say Portal. All right. AJ.
Yes.
Secret of Monkey Island or Monkey Island 2, LeTruc's Revenge?
I actually haven't played Monkey Island 2 in a long time.
You played it, though.
Yeah, I have. I'm just trying to think through. Ultimately, oh, God, this is hard. I'll go with 2.
All right. Why?
I mean, it's pretty much just Monkey Island 1 on steroids, except its testicles didn't shrink at the same time.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's bigger. It's still just as good. It's just as funny.
It's harder.
It is harder, but I'm fine with that. Some people may not be, but I am. And I'll say Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge.
Pete.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing for pretty much the same reasons. Monkey Island 2 is just a better Monkey Island game. Plus, it had the iMuse system as well, which is that great interactive music system that LucasArts did in most of their adventure games. So it had a continuous soundtrack all the way through that just blended itself and mixed itself, and I had a lot of time for that. Whereas Monkey Island 1 was relatively minimal on the sound front.
You realize that playing the special edition.
Yeah. The first time I played Monkey Island, I was playing on the Atari ST, so it had even less music than the PC version. So, yeah, it was a pretty silent experience all the way through on the ST. Plus, it was in 16 colours as well, so it looked great. Monkey Island 2 is more but better, and it's longer and better written, I think, and just a better game all around.
Yeah, I would agree. I really hope, and especially now, it seems to be that Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition sold pretty well. I really hope that Monkey Island 2 Special Edition is coming out. Because that will just knock my socks off. I mean, just thinking about that. I mean, I can't think of very many adventure games that were longer than this one. It was just huge. It was satisfying. Great music. Yeah, everything about it was awesome. Okay, so this is kind of a follow-up now, and we'll go start with Pete this time.
Mm-hmm.
Monkey Island 2 or Curse of Monkey Island?
That's more difficult. I think possibly, Curse of Monkey Island. Because they were finally doing what they obviously wanted to do with the series, with the art style and the animation and the voice acting and so on. I thought the voice acting in Curse of Monkey Island was so perfect for all the characters. And it added a huge amount to the game. And I have a lot of time for Murray, the invincible demonic skull, as well. I am Murray, the invincible demonic skull!
You know, the guy who did the voice, he tweeted, he's coming back as Murray for the next episode of Tales of Monkey Island.
Sweet.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. All right, Edge Guy.
I'm going to say Curse for basically the exact same reasons. I just think of games that had such a good kind of overall look and feel to them, and that's like top of the list. Everything about that game was right.
Plus, for me and you, we played Curse first, actually.
Yeah.
Because our whole story was the first one we got was Day of the Tentacle, and then we got one of those like those packs that came with like a bunch of games, and that had like the demo of Curse of Monkey Island in it, and we played that and just kind of fell in love with it. But I'll agree, Curse of Monkey Island. I mean, I think Monkey Island 2, might, in some ways, might actually be a better game. Does that make any sense?
Right.
But it just, it can't really compete with that art style. That, and not that Monkey Island 2 isn't a good-looking game for what it had, because it was. Of course, but that, that sort of hand-drawn look in Curse of Monkey Island, the voice acting, which just, like, allowed you to do so many things you couldn't do before. Like, that whole, the whole, singing with your crew. Oh,
the ship song. The ship love the song. Ship song.
Yeah, we'll surely avoid scurvy. We all eat an orange. That's just the
orange.
I watched that on YouTube again the other day. And it just brought such a huge smile to my face.
That game still looks pretty good as well. The animations and stuff in it, it still looks great.
Especially the like the actual like cutscenes where it's like fully animated. Amazing.
And with the Homebrew channel on my Wii, I actually play it on there with ScumVM, and it's perfect with the Wii remote and everything. Sweet. It's actually a really good way to play the game.
All right, I'm not going to bother with Curse of Monkey Island or Escape from Monkey Island, because I'm sure we all know where that would go.
Yeah.
Not to beat up on Escape from Monkey Island or anything. All right. Okay, so this is a kind of change of course a little bit here. Turtles in Time or Simpsons Arcade? Which brawling beat 'em up do you like more? AJ.
Turtles in Time.
Doesn't time why?
It had that really cool thing where you could throw the foot soldiers at the screen.
Yes,
and at the time that was
based
like
on that mechanic.
Yeah, it was like the coolest thing ever. Like that's how you fought Shredder. You threw foot soldiers at him. It was awesome. I mean, like, yeah, the Simpsons. I like the Simpsons, but you know, the turtles are supposed to be out fighting stuff. The Simpsons thing was a little bit contrived.
Pete.
Yeah, same thing. I like Turtles in Time. It was one of the first games I played on the Super NES as well. And I remember playing like the Mode 7 levels with the hoverboard thing as well and being really impressed by them at the time as well. I mean, they look like cack now, but but no, I remember being really impressed by them at the time. And it's it's a good game. It's got a good soundtrack and it was a lot of fun. I put a fair bit of money into the Simpsons arcade game, but I played Turtles more, so I've got fonder memories of it.
All right, I'm going to disagree with you, too. I got to say Simpsons arcade game all the way. Now, you saying how the Simpsons shouldn't be out there fighting, that's why I think it was great. It was hilarious. I think, and maybe because I only really played the arcade version, it looked better. Plus, I thought the four characters controlled differently as opposed to the four turtles. It does awesome team-up moves. Plus, there's a certain sort of romantic quality associated with it because it never got ported to a console. The only way I can play it was going to an arcade, throwing my money in. I still have the epic memory of the one time we just got, like, probably $20 worth of quarters, and, like, we're beating this thing. Let's go at some birthday party. And just how much fun that was to go through the whole thing, beat Mr. Burns at the end. For my money, I think the Simpsons Arcade game is the best brawler ever made. I need a port of it so bad. You know, just a little aside, is there a brawler that you guys like more than Turtles in Time?
No.
No, I don't think so. Or maybe Streets of Rage 2.
Okay.
The X-Men game that was two screens wide comes close.
Yeah, that one was pretty good.
Only because that was eight people and it was so over the top. But still, Turtles, I think, was better.
Remember there was the, there was like an Alien vs. Predator one?
Yeah.
There was a lot of good, I think Turtles and Simpsons were the two best, though. Both right. Konami, right? Konami pretty much made all of those, actually, right? Yeah, good stuff. All right, next up, Pete. Sort of the battle of the big Xbox franchises. Gears of War or Halo?
Halo, because I finished it. And Gears of War, I couldn't get to the end.
Guess that's pretty fair enough.
Yeah, pretty much. I just enjoyed it more than Gears. I don't know if it was a visual style thing. Again, thinking about it, it might be. Because, again, Halo's more colourful than Gears.
Halo's a lot more colourful. Yeah. Maybe too colourful for me.
And I mean, I bag on Halo a little bit, but I did enjoy it. But it's not something I'd choose to spend a lot of my time playing if there's other stuff around as well. But yeah, I enjoyed it more than Gears, whereas Gears just switched me off altogether.
AJ.
Yeah, I'll say Halo. I mean, I liked the single player in both of them. I think they do different things very well. But where Halo definitely wins out is the multiplayer. Like, the multiplayer in Gears for me is pretty forgettable, and I really don't like it. Whereas, I mean, Halo's multiplayer, I mean, that goes without saying. Everybody likes that. So,
Okay.
I told the Galo story, didn't I, on Squadron of Shame?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on here.
No, I think we named an episode something Galo. I'm going to disagree again. I'm going to say Gears of War. Just because I never seem to pick up on the things about Halo that other people liked about it. Like the sort of, like, hidden story and the multiplayer I never got into. Like, for Gears of War, I played that multiplayer just as much, and I thought that was fine. But I think, and obviously Gears of War is kind of retarded in its story and everything. But I thought just the shooter mechanics itself are really good. I love the whole active reload thing. Ultimately, I have more fun playing Gears of War. Okay, next up. Edge guy. Yeah. Angry video game nerd or zero punctuation?
Zero punctuation.
Why?
It's just his delivery is what makes it funny. The way he just kind of speeds through it. I mean, the angry video game nerd, like, it's a different kind of humor, but I almost, well, this isn't fair, because they're both pretty predictable. You pretty much know exactly what they're going to do with each game they encounter. Like, they do the same thing every time, so I guess, just ultimately, it's just a personal preference. I like Yahtzee.
Pete?
Yeah, same here. I think
Pete, you like him because he's British.
Yes, that may be part of it. I like his animations as well. They always make me laugh. And
Because
they remind me of something that me and my friends might do if we were doing a similar kind of thing. I've always got a lot of time to hear what he's got to say. Even if I don't agree with it, it's always funny to listen to.
Okay, once again, I'm going against the grain here. I'll say angry video game nerd. Just because, I don't know, something about, like, the same as kind of more of an experience. Like, here's a crappy video game you've never seen. Watch it. Isn't it kind of funny? And you get the video with it. And, you know, his whole getting mad thing is a little predictable, but I enjoy the videos a lot. He did one recently on some 3DO game I never heard of. It was just hilarious.
That was funny. I was
like,
watching it.
And, you know, more usually the humor just comes from the game itself. Like, I can't believe this is something that actually happened. But I think it's my favorite episode of his was the Silver Surfer episode he did once. You have to look that up. That one's great.
Okay.
Or the Ghostbusters episode. Zero punctuation. I remember he kind of made his claim with that Halo 3 episode, which sort of brought him on because he was kind of being he kind of gave the minority a voice with that one, like the people who just didn't get Halo. I think they're both pretty funny. Ultimately, personal preference, angry video game nerd. All right. Back to Pete. Pete.
Right.
Sonic the Hedgehog 3 plus Sonic and Knuckles or Super Mario World?
Super Mario World.
Okay. Why?
I think Mario is a more solid game, and it certainly lasted me a lot longer than Sonic did. I enjoy Sonic, but Mario just had more to do and more variety and more interest, I think, for me personally.
AJ?
You said lock on, and that's what cinched it.
Yeah, see, because now
Sonic 3 locked on to Sonic & Knuckles is the greatest Sonic game ever, maybe after Sonic CD. And I always liked Sonic more than Mario back then, so I have to go with that. You have all the cool shield power-ups really worked. You had three very different characters who all played well back then. I just love Sonic so much.
Yeah, I'm going to go Super Mario World. I just think that's the quintessential 2D platforming game. I thought it was never done better than I thought it looked gorgeous. And Sonic 3 plus Sonic Knuckles probably is the best Sonic game. But at that point, that was the third time it had been on a Genesis system. We had Sonic CD. The whole thing was getting, maybe not old, but it was a little too familiar. Not that Super Mario World was all that different than Mario 1 and 3, but still, it kind of had a shiny new coat to it.
On the graphics thing as well, I think that Mario World has aged better than Sonic 3 as well.
I would agree.
Sonic 3 was a good-looking Genesis game at the time, but the amount of detail there is in the graphics has aged it a lot more than the pretty cartoony and simple style that Mario had was. So I think Mario now looks better than Sonic 3 does.
All right, I agree. All right, to finish up here, we got a couple specific either-ors, only for one of you at a time, just one each. All right, this is for AJ, either-or. Soccer or football?
Football.
All right, why?
I mean, you mean in terms of video game, right?
No.
Oh, like in general?
Yes.
I'll still say football, I guess.
Pete, do you take offense at this?
They're the
he
same
means American,
thing.
He means American football. He means American football.
Soccer and football are the same thing.
No, not here. All right, fine.
Can I say I don't give a shit about either of them, really?
That's fine.
No. English people are supposed to be furious about this. That was the trap.
You said
well, you failed.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Here's for you, Pete. AJ or Mike?
I'm going to have to say AJ just to annoy you.
What?
Oh, yes!
What?
Oh, that backfired, huh? How's it feel?
That's it. All right. Here's your score, then. Pete, you were winning, but now you're at a paltry 80 points, whereas AJ is at 221. Yeah, I was keeping score, of course. Look, there's still the lightning round. So this could turn around.
Okay. How's the lightning round work?
Faster. There's no explanations. I have five lists. You guys, I guess you can just burn them out at the same time. Whatever. But there's a lightning round. I was going to whip through it. And, this is your last chance, Pete, to pull ahead. After that disastrous turn. I won't tell you how much we're ahead. I will say that last one was worth 500 points. Okay, lightning round. All right. Any marks? Guys, come on. This is what, get serious.
I'm ready.
Game faces.
Okay.
We got the lightning round. All right. There's two exclamation points after it. Okay. Ready, set, go. Mario or Luigi?
Mario.
Reggie or Shiggy?
Shiggy.
Kotaku or joystick?
Kotaku.
Orcs or humans?
Orcs.
Spy or sniper?
Spy.
Sniper.
Okay. AJ was faster. AJ was faster than Pete.
Except than the last one.
Yeah.
Right. But you said the better choice than the last one.
Okay.
So AJ wins the lightning round. That's plus 2 million points.
Yes.
AJ wins 2,221 to Pete's 80.
Yes. I dominated.
All right. That's it for either or. What'd you guys think of that one?
I like that, but
can
you keep
that.
Cracking out ideas for that?
Yeah, I can keep going.
All right. I leave it to you.
I mean, you know, we're not going to go to it every week. I mean, now we'll have rotating segments. But everyone can let us know what they thought about it, too. But here's a reoccurring segment. As I take a sip of my Dr. Pepper. The Great American Ash Guy Gaming Quiz.
Oh, boy.
As big as ever. All right, here we go. Five questions plus the bonus question. You got to get five to win. Question the first. Name the two power-ups Mario has on the cover of Super Mario World.
The cape and Yoshi.
Correct.
Yes.
Question the second. What Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game was released for the Genesis the same year as Turtles in Time was released for the SNES?
The Manhattan Project.
No.
What?
The Hyperstone Heist.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Question three. What year was the Dig released?
90... Pete, do you know?
Just trying to think.
96 is coming to mind. That might even be too late. Might be 95.
94.
And I'll go with that. 94.
1995.
Motherfucker, oh, you bitch.
He's sabotaging you because you beat him either or.
Yeah.
Okay, question four. Give the full name of Thief the Dark Project sequel.
I do know.
Paige is out there screaming at his iPod. You do know it? Go ahead.
It's Thief 2, the Metal Age.
Correct.
All right.
Question five. The story of Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight, takes place how many years after Return of the Jedi?
3-1.
Bonus question. Name LeChuck's old first mate who Guybrush encounters in Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge. Full name, please.
Shit, I just told you I haven't played this in a long time. Do you know, Pete?
No, not offhand.
All right, what?
No. Largo Le Grande.
He was his old first mate? I don't know that tidbit.
Oh, yes, sir. Why do you think he went and revived him? Shits and giggles?
Wow, I really haven't played that game for ages.
Shame on both of you. All right, that's the quiz. I think you got 3 points. Yeah, could have done better. No, 2 points.
Two.
All right, weak outing for you. That's okay, though. All right, let's get going with our weekend gaming, then. I want to hear from Pete first, because I think Pete played... the Monkey Island Special Edition. I want to know what he thought about it.
I loved it. It was great. I've played it through twice already. I thought it was a really good version of it. I was playing on the 360. What were you guys playing it on?
360.
On 360 as well. Yeah. No, I thought it worked really well. The controls are always going to be a little bit clunky on a control pad, but I thought they handled it quite nicely. graphics look great as well in high res. The sort of movement of everything was very smooth, but it's very obvious, like you said a couple of shows ago, about them just obviously drawing over the top of every single asset in the game, because the animations themselves are the same number of frames and that kind of thing. But it gave it a kind of retro edge to it. And I loved the fact you could hot swap between the high definition and classic modes as well. That was great.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any interest in picking it up for the iPhone now that it came out?
Well, I don't know, because I've played it through twice on Xbox already, and I do love it, and I want to support LucasArts in what they're doing here, because I want them to do more of these things. So I don't know who I'm kidding. I probably will pick it up at some point.
But, yeah. I got it.
Good job, yeah. Aiden.
Can I talk about it right now? Is this an appropriate place?
I think it's Pete's turn to talk right now.
Yeah. I have the talking stick.
You hit him, Pete?
Yeah, hit him hard.
Oh, God. Ah, ow!
I've changed my answer. My favorite's Mike.
Wait. Too late. The game's over.
Gosh, if that question was only worth 500 points in the lightning round.
Was 2 million, yeah. So ha. Ow.
I got him good, Pete.
Good work. Hurt. Nice. I've had a bit of gaming ADHD for the last few weeks, and I've just been playing loads of stuff. Like I started playing Bioshock again.
Woo!
Yeah, and really enjoying that. I've been playing Burnout Paradise again as well, which me and AJ had a quick go on multiplayer the other night as well.
Yeah, oh, I heard about that.
AJ said he'd never tried multiplayer before.
I was getting achievements left and right for stuff that you're supposed to have done like the first day the game came out.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, that's a lot of fun, and I'm rediscovering that along with the DLC for that is great. The Big Surf Island is fantastic. Tried out the bikes for the first time last night as well. Picked up the legendary cars, so I'll probably spend a fortune on that game now, more than necessary. But never mind. it's still fun, and it's a great game to just pick up and play when you don't want to do anything particularly complicated, and you just want to drive around and have a bit of fun. I still say it's a playground game done perfectly, and it has the best lobby system ever. If rather than sitting waiting in a lobby, you can just drive around and you can muck around, you can smash each other up, and if you got your camera, you can pull faces at each other, which is great. what else have I been playing? I've got Tiger Woods 10 as well.
Cool.
For the Wii, with the Motion Plus, and I'm very impressed with the accuracy of it. It feels a lot like doing a proper golf swing. And I had a couple of friends come over the other night who we've played a bit of golf very badly together before in the past, and they both agreed that it's a very realistic feeling. Picked up Worms 2 as well on XBLA.
Wait, real quick, did you try the frisbee golf?
Yeah, I've had one go at it, and that's a really good demonstration of Motion Plus's accuracy, I think, because literally everything you do is reflected on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was really impressed with that. I said to Jane that I make the same mistakes in Tiger Woods, both playing golf and throwing a frisbee, that I do in real life. So that's how realistic it is. Because I'm completely cack-handed both with a golf club and with a frisbee, and I do the exact same things in Tiger Woods that I do with real implements. So, Worms 2 on XBLA as well, which is great, as they've added in all the things that were missing from the original Worms on XBLA. Put all the weapons and stuff back in.
That's cool. I might have to pick that up, because I really liked those older Worms games.
Yeah. I mean, they've kept the art style of the latest ones, but the animation is fantastic.
Well, I mean, I kind of meant that. Not like, yeah. I don't know, not like Worms 1, Worms 2 and stuff.
Yeah.
Before it went 3D.
Yeah, right. They put some really nice little touches in the animation now, which I can't remember if they used to be there or not, but like, say you throw a grenade at a worm and it lands behind him and it's got a couple of seconds left on the fuse, the worm will like turn around and look at it and scream and stuff like that and try and get away from it. There's some brilliant animations in there. There's some hilarious voice packs as well built in.
That was always my favorite part of the old PC Worms games, are all the different voice packs for the characters.
Yeah.
They've put loads in there now. And there's a lot of unlockable stuff as well. You play through the single player campaign mode, and you can unlock lots of stuff as well. You can unlock new hats for them, and new gravestones, and new map types, and weapons, and all sorts of things. So, yeah, it's a really solid game now, and yeah, it's pretty good value at 800 points now. Whereas I bought the previous Worms and didn't play it that much. At Worms 2, we've already had a good few sort of local multiplayer sessions as well. I haven't tried it online yet, but local multiplayer is still a lot of fun. Nice. Friend of mine introduced me to the only mode he used to play on, I think, Worms Armageddon on the PC, which was artillery mode where you can't move and you only have bazookas and teleports.
I remember that.
Yeah, and that's a lot of fun. So we had a good match of that last night. Yeah, and got quite drunk during it, which was good. I think that's about it. Had a good game of Left 4 Dead the other night with Tyrannix and...
Oh, you rolled with his group, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just jumped on the other night because I was going to have some people come over and play Burnout Party with me, but they all let me down. So I went online and played a bit of that instead. It was actually my first time trying Versus mode, which is pretty shameful, I know, but I enjoyed it a lot. It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
Although I suck, as I do with most first-person shooters, but...
Well, that's okay. We still love you. AJ, what'd you do?
I got Monkey Island on the iPhone last night.
Did you try it?
Yeah. It's awesome.
It works. How do you do things like inventory or swapping?
Okay, well, you control the cursor kind of like the way you control the cursor in the Metal Gear game, where it's not where you put your finger, you kind of drag elsewhere in the screen to move the cursor, so you're not your fingers not in the way.
Does that work?
Yeah, perfectly.
Because when I played, I played Monkey Island 1 and 2 on my iPhone X just through like some scum, you know, stuff. And, you know, that way you just put your finger where it was. And that works fine, I guess I thought. But I guess I can kind of see why it might not be ideal to have your big old thumb in the way of where you want to click.
Right, it just gives you more precision. So a single tap, then anywhere in the screen is like a click. Double tapping is like the right click.
Okay.
There's an icon on the bottom left that brings up the verb menu. Bottom right that brings up the inventory.
How do you do the swap?
You drag two fingers across the screen.
Yeah, okay.
If you want, you can actually do pinch and zoom to zoom in on some stuff if you need to see something better.
Yeah.
And it like to go to the menu, you just rotate it back to vertical. Menu comes up. If you want a hint, you shake the iPod. They did a really good job of mapping everything.
It's great that there's a proper version and not just a lazy port in it. So that's
it's the game.
It has the voice acting.
It's the voice acting. It's the new art. It's everything.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like 380 megabytes though, so it takes
a chunk of
space.
But that's a nice precedent that we have here now.
Yeah, I'm very happy with it. Let's see. So yeah, I think you spoiled before. I got Explosion Man, the first of the summer of arcade releases, and you played some too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
It is. Yeah,
it's just a very pure kind of platform experience where like you're just it's almost like. It's kind of like Sonic the Hedgehog in a weird way, where you're trying to keep this like kind of line going and keep your speed up the whole time.
Right, and it's very much, you know, a lot of kind of that wall jumping and triple jumping sort of feel. Like there's only two like actions I discovered. There's exploding and there's suicide.
Yeah, that's all there is. It's got so much character, though.
The bits where it
just sort of zooms in on him and you look at the little animations he's done. They're great.
I love the there's like all these different like running animations that are great. Like the one he's like an airplane, the other one just like looks like he's a monkey or something. just absolutely insane. It's great.
He's like always shouting things as he runs. Yeah. And I pointed out to you too that it does a really cool thing with the music where when you're in the midst of your explosions, the kind of guitar picks up more in the music, but where you're not exploding, the music is a little more subdued.
Mm-hmm.
It's a neat effect.
Right. I mean, I wasn't. What's this group's name called now?
Twisted Pixel. These are the same guys who did the Maw.
Right, and I wasn't all that in love with the Maw, but I do really enjoy this.
So, yeah.
Good job.
Have you tried multiplayer yet?
Not yet. We will probably sometime this week.
Was there a co-op?
Yeah, it's four-player co-op.
Oh, it's four. I thought it was just two.
I wonder how that works.
I think it's four. There's certainly a four-player multiplayer mode. Maybe it's not co-op, but there is a four-player multiplayer mode.
Hmm.
It's like there's multiplayer specific levels where you have to like explode off of each other.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So what else do you do, AJ?
I really think that's pretty much it. I just, like I said, I played some Oblivion, I played some Burnout with Pete, and I think that's it.
My big story is kind of this awesome deal I got where Hollywood Video is doing this thing where all of the used games that are under $30 are just selling for $5 right now for whatever reason.
Cool.
And the only one I found of interest was they had Force Unleashed for $15. which I rented and played through, but I thought, well, I can buy it now for $5 and I can play through any of the DLC and whatnot. So I got that. And turns out I somehow accidentally got a new copy of the game, though. So I got a new copy of The Force Unleashed for $5. That was cool.
Nice.
Worked out pretty well. Did I play anything exciting? No, not really. No. Guess I'm good. Yeah, I played Explosion Man.
Explosion Man.
Explosion Man. I played more MLB 09 The Show. Yeah, that's about it. Alright.
Alright.
Let's get to the releases then.
Okay, we wear Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, My Life as a Dark Lord.
Oh man.
It sounds like Final Fantasy meets Dungeon Keeper.
Is it just My Life as a King with a black color palette?
No, because, like, I never played My Life as a King, but I understand that you're basically, like, sending people out to do your stuff.
Yeah.
This is, it's like, it's just like Dungeon Keeper. You're, like, laying traps and everything throughout your castle, and then heroes come in, and so it's kind of tower defense-ish like that, I guess.
Cool. I enjoyed My Life as a King, actually. It was an interesting game. It was a bit flawed, I think, but it was an interesting game. I might check that one out.
There's also something called Battle Poker and Five Spots Party.
Up.
There's no virtual console release this week, which is odd.
Bizarre. And there's still no Tales of Monkey Island.
Yeah.
Pete, did you play Tales of Monkey Island yet?
I haven't yet, no. I'm going to pick it up on Steam, I think.
Good. Yeah, definitely do it. It's great stuff.
DSiWare sees another art style game, this one called Zen Gage.
It's like Engage, but Zenny.
Yes. Xbox Live Arcade has Splosion Man. For PS3, we have Shatter, whatever that may be. On the PSP, there's Tomb Raider Legend and Tomb Raider Anniversary, the full games for download. And two PS1 classics. We have Spec Ops, Covert Assault, and Wild Arms 2. And where'd I go? Okay, goodoldgames.com, Tex Murphy, Overseer, and Lords of Magic Special Edition.
All right. Here's our real releases. We have GeForce on every platform imaginable. PC, PSP, Xbox 360, Wii, PS2, PS3, DS. The Little King Story for the Wii. This is supposed to be a pretty good game, huh? Little fun game. I don't really know entirely what it's about.
I don't know anything about
it. Game reviewed pretty well. King of Fighters 12 comes out for 360, or came out. Yeah, came out today, I guess. Or yesterday, whatever. For the 360 and PS3.
Yeah, I don't get about this game. I'm not huge on King of Fighters, but I understand that Mai is, like, probably the most popular character from that game, and she's not in this one.
Yeah, it seems a little strange, huh?
It's like not having Chun-Li in Street Fighter.
Right. I bet she'll show up in some form or another. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Watchmen, The End is Nigh, Parts 1 and 2 for the 360. And also, there's for the PS3, it's strange. Watchmen, The End is Nigh, Complete Experience.
It's the same thing.
No, but it comes with the movie.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay, yeah. Well, that's like $50 gets you, like, yeah, the Blu-ray movie and everything.
Right, right. Rock Band Country Track Pack for 360 Wii, PS3. 3 and PS2.
That's it.
Alright, that's it. That's always good to end the show on a, is there anything else? Not really, no, we're done. Yeah. Alright, I guess that brings us to the end of the show. Pete, we had good times, didn't we?
Yeah, good times.
The best times. The best of times.
The best.
The best, Jerry, the best!
Can't believe how much shorter this show is without the games of years past.
Well, it's okay. We got over an hour, that's good. We used to be thrilled whenever we got over an hour.
Yeah,
Sword true. Guy told me to tell you that Strange Journey is the new story of the year.
What's Strange Journey?
I don't know.
Oh, shit.
He's
going to yell at us.
Yes.
I doubt it competes to the last year's Mega Man 9 story of the year.
Well, you get to send us more email then.
Yeah. All right. Maybe we talked about it last week even we already forgot. All right. So that's the show, everybody. You can find out more about us at... SpoilingBarrel.wordpress.com or SquadronOfShame.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/exploitingbarrel. You can contact me at tokoto@gmo.com. tokoto@squadronofshame.com. Snapped at me. I'm like, what'd I do?
edgeguy@squadronofshame.com.
angryjedi@squadronofshame.com.
All right. There you go. We got all three out there. Be sure not to email us. As always. And then, I guess that's it, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ooh, I have chills.